Listener-supported radio for Northeast Texas. This is 88.9 KETR and streaming at KETR.org. And I'm your host, Matt Menke, encouraging you to keep this programming coming with your contribution today. Click the donate button on our website and support everything from the news to the entertainment, the live sports, the weather coverage. Your support makes all that possible, so thanks for chipping in today. And I'm very happy to welcome back into our studios today a couple in music and in life out of Fort Worth who love to tell stories in their songs, and they have just put out their second album, MacGuffin. And not unlike this program, Notably Texan, they sort of refuse to be pinned down to any specific genre. And today I'm interested in digging into all sorts of information from what the new album title is all about, how they might have approached their sophomore record a little differently, and the future plans for this duo, Tips and Obermiller. Happy to welcome back today, Hillary Tips and Steve Obermiller. Well, it is wonderful to see you both again. Welcome back to Notably Texan, Steve and Hillary.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
I think it was May of last year that you two visited with us about your debut record, and now you've returned with a new album, MacGuffin, so you two have been some busy bees.
We have.
Extremely, yeah.
That's a good thing, though, right?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, so many songs, we got to make another record. I am all good with that.
These are great problems to have, yeah. and problems of our own creation.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
So, of course, to many, you're known by your last names during your music lives. But what about your alter egos as mild-mannered Steve and Hillary? Do you guys have day jobs as well?
I don't think anybody's really ever defined us as mild-mannered.
But we do. I have a day job. Steve has a day job. But yeah, mild-mannered, no.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
No, I am fortunate enough to run the music business and do the booking and coordinating of all the things and run the household and do that sort of thing. So
that's enough.
It's absolutely a full-time job, but totally. That's what I do.
I'm a nurse anesthetist.
Right.
I give anesthesia. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I remember us talking about this last time now that you mentioned that.
And then it's great because I also get to, like, you know, go on dates with the pool guy and the lawn guy and the chef and the house cleaner because they're all him.
Okay. That is pretty much the dream setup right there.
Yeah, yeah. Just wear many hats. And...
I saw that you two got to perform at an Eclipse event a few weeks ago.
Yes.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
Magical thing to witness. I mean,
it was incredible. It was the whole weekend was magical. That's a great word for it out in Quitman.
And the
hosts
group
were
of
wonderful.
People, yeah.
The musicians were amazing. Meredith Crawford.
It was on the land of this people. They were all retired air traffic controllers.
Really?
It was really fun. I mean, it was also open to the public. So there was like a guy from Canada and like somebody from University of Cincinnati, like all watching the eclipse, and Meredith Crawford and our new friend, Zach Aaron. And yeah, it was wonderful.
Now, hopefully the clouds parted in time for y'all to get a good view.
It was incredible the
everything.
Way that happened.
Yeah,
everybody was so worried, of course. But, you know, it was a little overcast, but it was really kind of crazy how where we were, the clouds just sort of went around the sun, you know, and
there was some Yahoo like mowing in his pasture
really?
Until like 15 minutes before. We were like, come on, bro, just watch the
eclipse. It's happening and you're hearing mowing behind the back. It's like, come on, man. Like,
can you guys imagine like 300 years ago if you didn't know what was happening?
That's what I was saying. Yeah.
Honestly. You'd be like, oh, God.
We've angered the gods.
Yes, absolutely. No, it was really beautiful. And to be out in an open pasture like that, there were some things that kind of happened, like the clouds, especially afterwards. The clouds rolling through just sort of created waves on the ground, on the grass, and it was really wild.
Did you have a good one, too?
Yeah, we had the same experience here, really. It was incredibly overcast. I was saying to myself all morning, well, man, all this preparation, and we're not going to be able to see anything. And as if on cue, things just started to clear out and clear out, and then just a perfect view. It's
unforgettable. Yeah. Unforgettable. Yeah. And I think we were in the right spot.
Awesome. Amazing. Yeah.
Well, your home of Fort Worth is not necessarily known to most as a music hub, but artists like yourselves are really helping to change that. Is there a fairly vibrant music scene in Cowtown that maybe outsiders aren't really aware of?
There is becoming one, you know, and we have some great people coming out of Fort Worth and really making a name for themselves. Abraham Alexander is from Fort Worth.
Summer Dean.
Yeah, lots of good people coming out right now.
And not just Leon Bridges. Country. Yeah. Not just country.
That's true.
Yeah. So, yeah. And you know, Fort Worth is a crazy place where you can make a living just playing around town if you want. You know, we've got some great restaurants and bars where you can play. And we're all kind of working together. We're in a songwriting group that's, you know, doing a lot of good work. And then there's Here Fort Worth, and they're part of the Visit Fort Worth initiative.
Okay.
And they are taking us, they took us to Folk Alliance International. They're taking a group to Americana Fest. They're really trying to get out there. And then Amplify 817 is also, it's associated with the library, the public library in Fort Worth, and they're helping a lot of artists. Here Fort Worth has like a stipend so that they can help us go on tour.
Yeah,
if you've got more than three shows, you can get grants.
Yeah. Fantastic.
So, yeah, they're really trying to grow the music scene there.
Well, I'm glad to hear that it's going well over there. Yeah. We're visiting with Fort Worth duo Tips and Obermiller here on KETR. Now, based on the eclectic nature of your recordings, you two must have a pretty diverse music palette. What do you like to jam out to on a road trip? Are y'all listening to music on the way out here today, for instance?
No, we listen to lots of books while we're driving.
Yeah.
But
we listened to Tim Easton on our way out today.
Oh, that's right, we did. Yeah.
And I was traveling yesterday and listened to Heather Little's new record.
Okay,
so good.
Great.
Yeah. We have recently been able to be connected with Sirius Radio.
Okay.
And so there's some great stations and like the John Mayer station, and that's opening our palette up as well.
Yeah.
You know, and reminding us of some of the great stuff. Yeah, that's an incredible resource.
But overall, you know, I really come from like an R&B, jazz, and like a little bit folky with like the Ricky Lee Jones and Joni Mitchell, and he's a little more rock and country than I am.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you know, I still go through the entire AC/DC catalog.
Gotcha. So, yeah. So you're a little bit country and you're a little bit rock and roll. Got it. Okay.
You're actually
no. I think I'm more country and rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Okay. She covers all the middle ground and outsides beyond that.
I'm all the R&B. Right. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I am all for you know, a wide variety of sounds in our lives. There's no sense in just saying, well, I'm only into this because I like this. Hey, open your ears a little bit. You know?
I think it's actually one of the things that confuses people about us. You know, we were talking about this the other day about how we're members of Folk Alliance International, and we aren't exactly folk. You know, we're Americana for sure, just because that takes up a lot of space. But we don't really fit that folky genre. And so people kind of don't know what to do with us all the time. You know? I like that problem.
I was
going to
say, yeah, you know? That's not so bad.
Yeah.
Well, as I understand it, many of the songs from your first album, Love and Other Mysteries, were ones that you had written kind of prior to your collaboration, and you kind of brought them into that project. But the new record, I think, is mainly material that you co-wrote?
Yeah.
Yeah, the majority. I think there's only two songs, maybe, that or three songs that were singly written.
Yeah, I think two, literally, yeah.
Yeah.
So was that a different experience for you on this album, then?
It was really cool. Like, last summer, we set about, okay, let's write for the new record. And so we sat down and like purposely wrote for the record. And yeah, it was a new experience, especially considering what we each add to the, because I bring all the feelings.
We write from different places and in sort of different ways. And so it was really fun to explore that amalgamation of two processes.
I'm obsessed with melody. You know, and he's really good at like structure and like keeping us in what we're trying to talk about.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Sounds like a good pairing.
Yeah.
It's worked so far.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, it has.
And his words, I'll watch him sometimes and I won't even understand what he's doing. He's like counting out a phrase to try to figure out how many syllables we need to say something. And I'm like, I don't even know what you just
said.
Okay. The minutia of it. She's just like, I just want to express this feeling. And I'm like, okay, talk about it. And then we'll tease it from there.
Writing together.
There are layers to music creation that are well outside of my understanding. So it's fascinating to hear about this. You know, I think a lot of people don't really even think about everything that goes into making a song. They're just like, I don't know. I just listen to it. You know,
there's a lot of magic that happens, you know, just like some mystery to it for sure. Totally. Yeah.
Was the co-writing something that was kind of new to y'all as well?
We wrote three songs for the first record. We decided that we were going to make a record, we were like, oh, well, we probably ought to write a couple songs and see what happens. So we had dabbled in that for that record.
I guess what I mean is co-writing in general. Is that, I mean,
co-writing in general, for
I've
sure.
Done that very was... little. Steve's done a little more than I have. Because I don't even feel like a real songwriter. So
I think you're officially a songwriter now.
I feel like a little fledgling songwriter. So I'm, you know. And I think too, one of the things that happens is like, we definitely, you can tell like the ones I brought and he kind of midwifed and like helped me finish. But we still consider those total co-writes, and the ones that we really wrote together. And then sometimes I just walk in and like finish a chorus. There's one that we're going to do that he just kind of brought it to me and was like, and I was like, oh, you need a super poppy chorus? Here you go.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. It's been a cool process. And just trying to communicate in that way. It's a different sort of communication, you know, we've been husband and wife for many years now, and done and accomplished a ton of things, but sitting down to do this is a whole other way of communicating and a whole other way of having emotions and, you know, like what I want versus what she wants. And, you know,
Every once in a while he has to stop and go, would you talk to me like that if I weren't your husband?
I get it. No, I can imagine that there can be highs and lows to that situation.
Yeah, because I can get really like, whoa, no, hold on.
So, tell me about the meaning behind the new album title.
All right. Well, I guess you're better.
Well, so MacGuffin is just a storytelling device that like Alfred Hitchcock used it a lot. Like it's like it's a device that furthers the story that isn't what the story's about. So the Death Star in Star Wars is a MacGuffin, or the Ark in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
The Maltese Falcon and the Maltese Falcon.
Okay. You know,
they're always trying to get to that, or it's a main central point of it, but the story isn't actually about it.
And so the reason that we called this MacGuffin is because what our hope is that we can just connect. That's what the story's about for us, but the songs are a vehicle to get there.
And the album is just the device in order to
distribute
those stories to people.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Well, I feel like it deserved explanation, but there's a lot of thoughts in that sure.
Well, we felt like it needed to as well. That's why we put the actual definition on the record.
I was going to say. I noticed that.
We didn't want to leave too many people hanging.
Right.
And then we put lots of creatures on the record to make it confusing.
I don't know if y'all brought any physical copies with you today or not, but I haven't gotten one yet. But I saw them on the video you posted. So
there's one in the car.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I don't want to take like the one that, you know.
No,
this,
no, no.
This
no.
is our personal yeah. copy.
Well, we signed it for each other.
Okay.
And so.
Well, that's got a lot of meaning.
But we might give it to you.
All right.
Dear Steve.
I'll treasure that.
Yeah, no, we definitely. So it's kind of cool because it actually has like a, in case anybody wants to order one, it's got like the CD turns and the different heads have different creatures on them, and it's pretty neat.
You can match them to different bodies as you spin it.
I like that. Yeah,
that's and cool. I drew them.
Yeah, they're all based on her doodles, and then our friend who did the artwork for Love and Other Mysteries recreated them and colorized them and
put them all together.
Put them all together.
Came up with a design.
Yeah. So
very nice. Yeah. of course, last time we were talking about, you know, how CDs are kind of a weird thing these days because not everybody can even play them, but people still like to have it sometimes just to support you or just to be able to see the artwork, you know?
Totally. Yeah, yeah. That's one of the things you won't get with the digital downloads is that all the artwork with it, so.
And that's right. One of the reasons we made it kind of special was to, you know, have a reason to take one home with you. It was crazy when we released it. We, like, stood in line signing them for 45 minutes.
Really?
Never experienced that before. Yeah,
it was crazy. Nuts. And like even somebody brought up our set list. We were like, what do you want to do with this?
Well, that's nice though. That certainly makes you feel
the
good.
The people that listen to us are so wonderful. They are small but rabid.
Nice. Okay. Yes. That's the best fan base to have, you totally know? I mean, small can get bigger, but, you know, the rabid part is important for sure.
Yeah, they're wonderful. Yeah.
I'm joined in studio right now by Tips and Obermiller, who made the trip out this way from their home in Fort Worth. Now, it sounds like you took a kind of different approach on this new album, kind of a more organic sound akin to your live performances. Talk a little bit about how you came to that decision.
That's a very good observation. Yeah. Love and Other Mysteries was a great exercise in getting a band together and putting the songs all kind of very congealed format. You know, we had Matt Tedder play guitar on it, and he was phenomenal. But once we got done with it, we felt like it didn't really match what you would find when we just went out on the road and played the two of us. You know, there's a lot of texturing and things like that we just don't actually have when we're playing. And so when we went to put this record together, we decided that we were going to take the drummer and bass player, Trey Ware and Aiden Bubeck, in the studio again and just pare it down and just and say, okay, well, this is us as you would see us on stage, but with, you know, some driving force behind it a little bit.
And the other thing that Steve is not mentioning is that he can actually cover the lead guitar parts that we need.
Okay.
And he wasn't doing that before. I think he's gained a lot of confidence and a lot of skill since we started. So
nice.
There's that too. We really wanted to put the songs up front on this one.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
And we have our shows have a certain like energy that we were hoping to get closer to. I'm still not sure if we captured it this time. We're going to keep shooting for it because people really tend to like seeing us live. It's a different experience.
Now, you're using some of the same personnel behind you, I think, on the new album. These are some of the names I think you just mentioned.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, Trey and Aiden.
You can't do better than Trey and Aiden for a rhythm section. As long as they will play with us, we will hire them.
they're lovely. They're lovely human beings. They're incredible musicians, and they add so much to the songs. And, you know, without taking away from them, you know, we just had to have them back. Yeah, and then
you've already got a rapport too, right?
So. Absolutely, yeah.
Aiden and I were in our first band together when I was 18 years old.
Really?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so this goes back even further then.
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Now, I also saw that the album was mastered by none other than Todd Pipes from Deep Blue Something, which is a pretty cool Easter egg for music fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. He does incredible work, yeah.
And he's fast, and he's kind, uh-huh. Yeah. That's a really good job.
And he's a huge soccer fan, so, you know, there's...
Oh, I didn't know
there
that.
There you go, so...
Because I try to... I just tune out every time soccer... Every time football comes up.
Okay.
I just go to my happy place in my head and go, okay.
Understandable.
It is not like being married to a regular, like, football fan. It's totally different.
Yeah.
I'll convert her someday.
Maybe. I've got my hands full with Texas Rangers and Dallas Stars. And I can't do anything else. So, I mean, for a lot of people out there may not actually even know what music mastering is. I mean, can one of you even define exactly what Todd Pipes does when he masters your album?
Black magic and witchery.
Okay.
Is basically what it is.
I thought that was it.
Yeah, yeah. I would not be
doesn't
doing
it. Does it have to do
with
it having the same sound quality no matter what you're playing it on?
I think basically, yeah.
They maybe bringing the highs and the lows.
Bringing
you know,
everything
right.
together and yeah. making sure all the parts are sounding level. And
it's a proprietary secret, I believe, that we're not supposed to know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we're just the talent.
It's
yeah.
like his card says, like, Todd Pipes, voodoo.
Yeah. Well, I just thought that was really cool. Deep Blue Something, fondly remembered by a lot of folks.
Yeah, sure.
Some people might not even know what those guys are up to anymore, but yeah. they are still involved in music, as it
I
turns out.
I watched them play a bunch in the 90s.
Yeah.
At, like, Rick's and Denton and, like, yeah. bunch of places.
Yep, they're still out there, just not, you know, they never quite met the success of that that big hit, but anyway, I just thought that was a cool thing to point out.
I mean, one big hit's more than most of us
well,
get.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I would take it.
Yeah, you end up getting to master people's records for a living, you know.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah.
Tell me about the MacGuffin Choir, would you?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
So we wanted to bring in, like, you know, 50 of our closest friends, and bless his heart, Mark Randall was like, he's the guy at Blackstone. It was
engineer.
Like, let's not have 50 people in the studio. I was like, but you have this big room. So we carefully selected like 9 people, turned out to be really dude heavy. So all the female voices are me and one other woman.
Okay.
Well. Yeah. All the ladies had to back out.
But so. My friend Melinda did the arrangements.
Although that's not very fair. I think there were 3 ladies in.
Oh, yeah. Lori, and Megan.
Yeah.
yeah, my friend Melinda, she was a choir director for a long time, did all the arrangements. And
wow.
Yeah, we just really felt like Welcome to the Choir needed a choir. And it was really fun.
That's cool, because that was certainly a new thing for y'all to feature.
Mm-hmm. And we went to work, I think, had a choir, too. Yeah.
It was the one embellishment, I think, that we kind of wanted to have, you know, and didn't feel like it was going to take away from the song itself.
I've got Hillary Tips and Steve Obermiller with me right now on Notably Texan, and thank you so much again, both, for coming back. Maybe we can make this a regular thing, even if you're not putting out an album.
We'd love it.
Totally.
Please.
Okay. Do you guys have some shows coming up in support of the new record that you wanted to mention?
Oh, my goodness.
Oddly enough, we don't have too many coming up. We're concentrating on going to Folk Alliance conferences around the country and creating connections so that we can tour nationally over the next couple of years.
Okay.
The soonest we really have many runs is we're going to Big Bend in June and an Austin run down in July. So,
all right.
I think
and we
that's
have a
it.
Monthly residency in Fort Worth.
Oh, do you?
At the Cicada, it's on Wednesday nights,
yeah.
And we usually have one songwriter from like a regional songwriter from somewhere around Texas or Oklahoma, and then usually one local to join us. And it's a neat little song swap.
We can kind of keep up with whatever gigs you've got going on your website, right?
Yes.
Tell us what that is again.
It's tipsandobermiller.com.
And it's always 2 P's, T-I-P-P-S.
T as in Tom, I, P as in Paul, P as in Paul, S as in Sam.
And then the word and then you don't have to worry about my last name at all because everything pops up at that point.
And also, if you want to follow us on the socials, we post lots of stuff on there, videos and stuff like that, so you can keep up.
Yep.
Well, so we've got an idea of what you've got going on kind of here in the immediate future. What kind of like bigger picture ideas do you have about what you guys are going to do with your music?
Well, much to Steve's chagrin.
Oh, there's so much chagrin.
Oh, my gosh.
Our plan is to make 5 records in 5 years because I have a lot to say. I've been quiet for quite some time.
It's too much chagrin for radio, as a matter of fact, I wanted to say.
Yes, it is a lot of chagrin. But so hopefully you'll be seeing a lot of us because we'll be like, we've got another record. We've got another record.
We do have a plan to release 2 winter songs this year, just as singles, and then make another record next year for a late
2025
record. That's the plan. So we just want to write as much as we can and keep putting stuff out there because it's fun.
Mm, so fun.
Well, and you got to strike while the iron's hot too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
we have some time to make up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, will those be new singles in the winter or will they be from this record?
Yes, new singles. Yeah.
Okay.
We've both written songs from a song prompt called Winter Songs from last year. And we're going to go into the studio and explore how to put that down.
Yeah, they turned out really nice.
Yeah.
I mean, leave it to me to write a sad winter song. Steve's is really cool.
Hers is really cool, too.
And I'm done apologizing for sad songs. If anybody's heard Heather Little's record, you know you never have to apologize for a sad song.
I mean, some of the most memorable songs are sad songs. Totally. You know, we're recording on Roy Orbison's birthday right now. And oh, I mean, you know.
Yeah. There you go.
Like, he built right. a career on
the
it.
The king talk of about, sad songs.
Yeah. Talk about not apologizing for writing sad exactly. songs.
But, like, what is it, like, where they make you feel kind of good?
Well, it's like the blues, I think, right?
Okay.
I mean,
that's
I mean
what
the
it
blues is.
Is
all about bemoaning all your issues, but somehow yep. by airing it out, you feel good. A little bit better.
It's because yeah. you're like sharing it or yeah. something. Yeah. yeah.
I don't know. Y'all are the musicians. You tell me how this stuff works.
It's pretty mysterious to me.
Well, it is always a pleasure to have you guys back, and I saw that you were generous enough to bring your instruments again. What song were you thinking about doing? I think I blew your idea out of the water earlier when I played Wait, but something tells me you guys have some other songs.
We have a couple more. Why don't we do Fort Worth?
Okay.
We released this as a single leading up to the record release, and I'll let Hillary tell just a brief
explanation. I mean, if anybody looks it up, we got to use Jack Daw's art on it, and it's so cool. So if you see that, you can always order his prints. I thought I was writing a song about my hometown, but it turns out it was about my dad.
Very nice. Let's have a listen to this live performance in the KETR studios by Tips and Obermiller. It's their song Fort Worth here on 88.9 KETR.
Her pen cocks her head through the smoking section haze. She tells me Jesus saves. I'm glad cause I can't save myself. Gravity here, it's not like gravity there. The small things fall harder than you know. Once my zip code changed, I gave away my name. There was no one to walk me home. Creek, just trying to buy my smokes. The guy behind the counter asks about my dad. This place is like a summer storm, hot then cold then clingy, and it won't let me walk away. Shivering and smoking the hospital garage. My brother just says, "Hill, I need you home." Now I'm here to stay. Only you have gone away. Why couldn't you just wait? I did not get a say. Thank God I got to walk you. The crowded porch on Hill is gave more for worth. Do you forgive me too?
A live performance in the KETR studios by my guests Tips and Obermiller here on 88.9 KETR. And I really hope this second visit to the station was enjoyable for you both. It's so great to catch up with you.
You too.
We loved it. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having us. It's like hanging out.
Old pals at this point.
Totally. So. I know, absolutely. I love seeing your face, man.
Well, and you guys are the only ones that really have to do that. Everybody else just turns on the radio and they don't have to. So,
well, they're missing out.
Well, no, I love your energy and your talent, and I really do appreciate you dedicating the time to us. And I hope to speak with you two again soon.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks, you too.
I'm Matt Menke. I need to thank Steve and Hillary for stopping back by our studios. Always a joy to talk to them. And you can find more about them and their shows and music at tipsandobermiller.com. And a quick Sesame Street spelling lesson. That is T-I-P-P-S and O-B-E-R-M-I-L-L-E-R. tipsandobermiller.com. And we thank you so much for listening. More about this station at ketr.org.